The first aerial bomb had ripped through the neatly trimmed lawns of Hyde Park Gardens, spraying the cars and people on the streets and roadways with clods of rich black English soil. Panicked people on the sidewalk around Smith and his wife ran in every direction, realizing the peril of the situation. Smith pulled his wife into the relative safety of a stone overhang in the doorway of an old storefront.
Help! Harold!
We have to get underground.
Help!
To the subway.
Help! Out of my way!
We just have to wait here a moment, Bob.
Smith watched for the initial mob of running men and women to thin. The crowd was too unruly to provide for a safe passage to the underground. Smith was as surprised by the look of the planes as by the attack itself. The 14 planes appeared to be surplus World War I and II aircraft. By the looks of it, they were all in perfect working order. The aircraft remained clustered tightly together. Even with so few of them, the sky seemed thick with menacing shapes from his past. As Smith watched, a Messerschmitt broke from the cluster. The plane looked as though its forward momentum would surely slam it into the side of the building. But at the last minute, the pilot cut his angle sharply. The plane did a rolling maneuver away from the building, back out over the street. It soared back up into the air near Harold and Maude Smith. They couldn't wait any longer. Smith hustled his wife from the protected archway, and like leaves dropped into a raging spring river, they were immediately caught up in the stream of people flooding for the nearest entry to the London Underground.
Move! Hurry! They're coming back!
Mrs. Smith clung to her husband's arm, both for support and in fear. Face hard, Smith did his best to keep her safe from the panicked, shoving masses as they moved along the sidewalk. As Smith looked around, he saw the blood-spattered faces of some of the nearer pedestrians. Smith noticed that he and his wife had been lucky. They were in the center of the crowd and were thus shielded from the heaviest flying shrapnel. As they ran, Smith saw one man with a streak of crimson flowing down the side of his head. A woman, presumably a wife or girlfriend, was trying to staunch the flow of blood with a strip of cloth as the crowd continued to race forward. Some people had fallen, bloody, to the pavement. The panicked mob trampled over him. Smith saw the mouth of the underground over the bobbing heads before him. They had only a few yards to go. A huge shadow passed above them. Still moving, some, including Smith, cast wary glances at the sky. There were more planes above London now, but with the purpose of avenging angels. Smith saw that they were RAF Harriers. The crowd dragged the Smith to the stairs leading down into the bowels of the British subway system. Smith guided his wife's hand to the metal railing. She hurried down the stairs away from him, so concerned with finding safety that she was oblivious to the fact that she was now alone. Smith pushed flat against the wall of the subway stairway, pausing briefly to look up at the dogfight above the skies of London. People jostled him as they bustled down the stone stairs. The small planes were outdated and outmatched. They broke off the attack and headed away from the skies above Piccadilly. Some looped away from the others, streaking off in the direction of Buckingham Palace. Two Harriers pursued the rogue planes. The rest gave chase to the largest group of fleeing aircraft. It was finally over. Not that it mattered to the terrified crowd. Smith tried to move away from the wall in order to climb back up a few stairs to the street. He found it impossible to negotiate with a sea of running people. Though the danger had passed, Smith was caught up in the rushing tide. Against his wishes, he found himself being swept down into the subway along with the rest of the frightened crowd.